Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
No, well, you mean on the stage. You're talking about talent on the stage.
No, I mean basketball talent. It's the second round.
I'm silly. I should have looked this up before we hit on the air. But
that's hurtful.
Look, I'm not being a smart
guy.
You
play one-on-one against all of them.
I'm not a basketball player, although I had a hell of a shot.
You keep telling yourself that, Jeff.
Hey, you're looking at the three-point shootout media winner from the Coliseum back in the day. I oddly had the crowd going nuts.
Okay, you were going up against the media, Jeff.
There were dozens,
but the ball was going in the hoop. It was weird.
Who was your competition? Can I ask? Or was it just you against the hoop?
The finalist, it was Bob Dyer and me. Bob from the Beacon Journal.
Ding!
Am I nuts? Last night as I was watching, were they still at Barclays? Or were they in a studio doing the second round?
I was trying to figure out where the heck they were. I was paying no attention.
I was trying to figure. I don't know. Maybe just because I'm in
the venue
TV
didn't
part
matter.
Of it.
They had to be in New York because Spike was there. You knew it was a bad deal and everything else. Spike stood up and they took a shot of him,
and he laughed.
Well, they started turning around and yelling at Spike.
They were trying to
interacting.
That was
trying to
end.
Add something to it.
Yeah. Where were they last night? Seriously,
I think they were
still at Barclays.
Yeah, I think
yeah, because you could see they had the one shot, and there was a sign, and it said round two. They must have moved into a different room, though. Like they must have been in like one of the hallways to walk into the main venue.
Look, most of these guys who were drafted last night will get some playing time in the NBA to some limited extent, and most of them, and there's nothing wrong with this. Most of them will have fine careers overseas. That's usually the way it works in the second round. Hopefully, the Cavaliers have found a guy. I'm not even going to worry about Niang. You know, if he's not here, well, who knows? You know, that's coming down the road. Maybe one day he could end up here. That'd be great. And if he does, great. That's great. And maybe Proctor can actually become a guy who does more than sit at the end of the bench and you think, well, hope they can develop him in the future. Maybe he can play this year. Maybe. You know, like Jalen Tyson. Man, if you're going to develop somebody, there's the kid. Let's get him going for this next year. They're going to need bodies, Andy. And not just bodies. I shouldn't even just say that. You know, everybody talks about the depth. To me, depth means not that you have guys there that you play. Depth to me means guys who can help you win. Did you see a whole lot of depth in the playoffs that helped them win? I did not.
No. No, and that's something that's got, yeah.
And that's why you've got to develop some of these guys. You got a 6'5 guard now who can handle the ball in Proctor. Develop him. Make him better. You got Jalen Tyson, 6'6 guy who can handle the ball. And those two guys, just think about what they, you know, what they could be. That's exciting. It really is. But not if you don't develop them and make them key parts of your team.
Yeah, I know.
So they've got to get better, and I hope they can. I would expect Tyson to go to the summer league and look great.
And that starts what, next week?
Yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah, I'm excited to see
free agency starts next week.
What, 3 days away till free agency, isn't it?
Yeah, it's June 30th, isn't it? Yes, and then you can sign guys like 4 or 5 days later.
So I want to see how the Cavaliers play this, but you're right. We talked last segment about if Dan Gilbert's truly selling 15% of the team, then he could kind of look at, you know, being over the cap and living in the second apron is kind of no big deal and not really have to pay for it.
Yeah, except
and by
one
the
thing,
way, if you're going to buy in 15% of a team, what are you really getting? Do you really get?
Great seats.
Yeah, if season tickets. It's like a really, really, really expensive season ticket.
Probably get the higher end food.
Maybe you get to use the rooms. I don't know what else. You're part of the ownership group, right? So that's fun.
There's a yeah. And we'll see how that
goes.
You
say you're a part of it. Maybe you get to go in the locker room after they win a championship.
I hope that it doesn't mean Dan's looking to sell anytime soon overall, because I think he's been a very good owner of this team.
All right. You're going to make me optimistic.
Oh, I'm going to make you something.
I do have a couple points about the broadcast, though. But let me make me optimistic first.
I thought, because you know how I like to look at history and put silly, stupid stuff together.
Yes.
I thought.
Is this a list?
These are lists.
Oh,
I usually don't say they're lists.
Jeff Phelps coming through.
These are the guys I found to be, and I went back and looked at NBA drafts from the time the Cavs entered the league.
Okay, so we're going back to 1970.
And I looked for what I thought might be intriguing or successful. If there's anybody who is successful, he's on this list.
Okay.
And I added intriguing as well. From the time the Cavs entered the league in 1970.
But I can't get upset.
So this
the Cavs
is going back over
him.
50 some odd years.
Right. I can't get upset because Ted Stepien probably messed up any chance
there's
of getting
nobody
these guys,
on
right?
the list who you're going to get upset about that the Cavs passed over.
Okay. All right.
That's and it's not even that the Cavs passed anybody over. It's just that these guys are here.
Okay.
Most intriguing or best guys. You know how many total I ended up with?
How many?
13.
Ooh.
That's
lucky or unlucky?
That's it. Going back to 1970. So we'll start with the 49th pick. Two of them were interesting just because they're, you know, recent. Amani Bates and Isaiah Mobley. Okay? Or okay. Mobley, as the case may be. Akron had a female basketball player named Mobley, pronounced Mobley. Isaiah Mobley, Evans' brother. Okay, there's that.
Wasn't there a dog, cartoon dog, Mobley?
In 2006, Leon Poe. Remember Leon Poe?
Oh, Leon Poe, yes.
Leon was with the Cavs for a year, and he played AAU ball with LeBron on that Oakland team.
Okay.
So Leon Poe, who if he hadn't blown out his knees, he would have been pretty good.
From Cal, yeah.
Andre Blatch, anybody remember him?
Yes.
Big center for the Nets.
I do.
Andy, he was in 2005. Get excited. You ready?
I remember that guy for a reason that everybody should read at some point involving him and Gilbert Arenas and a prank gone wrong. I cannot say it on the air, but it is one of the funniest stories that is ever worth Googling.
In 2003, Andy, sit down. Get your hands away from anything where you might throw them and get hurt. You ready?
Okay, all right. I'm not going to get worried.
Champ. James Jones was the 49th pick in the draft.
He was?
Boom.
Wow.
James Jones.
Shot still probably is going in.
James could still shoot.
Probably
oddly,
still
James never played a whole lot. Anybody remember the name Haywood Workman? Haywood played in the league for 8 years, and I think he still is an NBA referee.
I'll take your word for it.
And then Eddie Johnson.
Wait, was Haywood Workman on What's
the
Happening?
Pacers. No.
I think he was on What's Happening.
Eddie Johnson, but not that Eddie Johnson. Remember there were two of them?
Not the Phoenix Suns one?
No, there was one who was a guard for the Hawks. He was the 49th pick. And then at 58th, you ready?
Yeah.
In 2023, Chris Livingston, who's with the Bucks from Akron, was the 58th pick in the draft. He's been with the Bucks on the bench for 2 years. He went to Bochtel and then Western Reserve Academy.
Jeff, just a point of clarity here. Haywood Nelson was the actor that was on What's Happening.
In 2006.
Haywood Workman is the NBA official former player.
See, you got that going for you.
I want you guys to try and recognize this. I want you guys to try and recognize this name. You ready?
I'm still laughing at the Andre Blatch story.
In 2006, does this name mean anything to anybody? Lester Hudson.
Yes.
It sounds familiar.
In 2012, the Cavaliers signed him to two 10-day contracts.
That's why.
And he went ballistic.
That's
he had four straight games of 23 points, 26, 25, and 19. Then he played five more games with the Cavaliers, and they didn't sign him for the rest of the season.
He played for the Clippers.
Dude was on fire, and the Cavs didn't keep him. Instead, he signed with Memphis. He kicked around for a while.
He played in China for a while, too.
Oh, a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he came over here from China. Came back from China. And he talked about the food in China. It was really funny. Lester was fun. And, man, he was on fire for four games. A guy named Don Reed was a 58th pick. He played eight seasons in the league. Big guy.
Hell of a football coach at Oregon, too.
I'll give you three other names that you'll recognize. Henry Bibby.
Oh, yeah.
In 1972. Mike Bibby's dad. Earl Cureton?
Didn't we have a Bibby on the baseball team and a Bibby on the basketball team?
Not related.
Oh.
No, they were. Yeah, they were. James Bibby, Jim Bibby, and Henry Bibby were brothers.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were just making a bad Biden joke.
No, that was true.
That's true.
Then I withdraw the rim shot.
Earl Cureton was a big guy in the league for a while.
Jim Bibby played for us. He played for the Rangers.
Yep. Big, strong pitcher. And he was Henry's brother.
And Pirates, too.
And in 1980, a 58th pick, Kurt Rambis.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know?
So I went all the way back to 1970. Those are the only names that I thought were even intriguing. Some of them weren't any good, but they had local ties. Imani Bates, Isaiah Mobley, Chris Livingston, and Lester Hudson. The other guys. So what my point is there.
One of those guys known for the fact that he can't wear a pair of shoes again.
That's why you keep your fingers crossed about a guy like Tyrese Proctor. You know, you were more excited about him because he was the first guy the Cavs had a chance to take. They didn't have a first-round pick. Will he be able to make it in the league? Let's just hope so.
You know, when I was playing freshman basketball, people used to call me Kurt Rambis because I wore glasses, too. I just want you to know that. Until my brother said, why are you wearing that strap that holds your glasses on in the
back?
You
wear contacts? Did you wear contacts?
No, I didn't start wearing contacts until I was a sophomore in high school, actually.
Well, that's what I mean. You ended up wearing contacts?
Yeah.
I didn't know you. You wear them now?
No, I had laser surgery.
Oh, okay.
Like a long time ago.
All right.
So when I was a freshman, I had that, and this is really bad story.
The list is over. You can stop the music.
No, it's still a pretty good list. It's kind of a corny story anyway. So I think it was... I would wear glasses, and I would feel silly wearing glasses. You know, when I wasn't wearing goggles...
Well, you want to see, Andy.
I know, but you know, like everybody else was playing basketball, no one else had to wear glasses, and your glasses would fall off.
And then Rambis showed up?
Yeah, and then Rambis was there. He was like an idol for me.
And you were all excited.
Yeah, and then my brother said, hey, you know, you might want to get contacts. This was when I was a sophomore or freshman. And I was like, why? He goes, because you look like an idiot with that strap. He goes, why don't you take off the idiot strap on the back of your glasses? Nice. And so then... And that was it. I was
great,
done.
Great Kurt Rambis story.
And that's why I played hockey instead of basketball after that.
Great Kurt Rambis story. I was told.
Yes.
Rambis, which I did when I traveled, would, because he thought it was great, collect all of the free shampoo and soap and stuff that's put in these expensive hotels that the NBA plays in, that the NBA guys stay in, And I used to take them home for my wife. Here you go. And it was great. Rambis did it throughout his entire career. And he said, I'm never going to buy shampoo for the rest of my life.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. You know, Rambis is from, do you know where he's from originally?
Montana.
No.
Where?
He's from the place that pops up on your phone that you really don't care about when it comes to time zones or things. What do you have an Apple? Dan, are you an Apple guy?
Yes.
Okay. So what's the city associated with that? When it pops up on your phone, you're like, where is this? And you're like, oh, I can't believe this. And it pops up, and you're like, why do I have to give the weather from this city? You know what it is? You know, and as soon as I say, you'd be like, oh, yeah, Cupertino. Pops up on your phone
all
the time.
Sorry, I never get that.
I've seen it every time you go to, I think you set your weather or set your timing or something.
I don't get it.
Worthless story. David Shumate, he is the voice of the Duke Blue Devils. He will give us the lowdown on Tyrese Proctor and talk a little bit more about what a successful draft it was for the Duke Blue Devils over the last 2 days, too. So 216-474-0092 plus Sam Amico coming up in the noon hour. And Ben Broussard later in the show. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Tyrese Proctor from Duke, and obviously it was a big weekend or big 2 days for Duke as they had five guys drafted. So exciting, fun, and let's get more insight on who the Cavaliers picked and what a great time it was to be a Duke basketball fan over the last couple days, especially with Cooper Flagg going. First, we go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and we bring in David Shumate. He is the voice of the Duke Blue Devils. Hi, David. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hi, David.
No, for sure. Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we're excited to have you on. First of all, I mean, what a just such a big draft for Duke, and you know, you lead things off with Cooper Flagg. How exciting is it for the folks in Blue Devil territory?
Yeah, it was a pretty good couple of days when you have three in the top 10 and the entire starting five gets drafted, and obviously I think it's probably been known, at least to my eye, probably since last summer, but the rest of the world over the course of the last 6 or 8 months that Cooper was going to be the clear number one pick. And but to see that formalized is cool. And, you know, a guy like Kaman Malawach and with his backstory going 10th and seeing the emotion that came with that, it's been a special couple of days to see those guys get their dreams realized. And obviously Tyrese is a part of that as well.
We're intrigued about Tyrese. Tell us what you think about him as a ball handler, what you think about him as a shooter. How do you think his game translates to the NBA?
I think it translates really well. And I mean, there's a couple different ways you can look at it. You mentioned the shooting piece of it, coming off a career year from three, better than 40% from three in his third season, his best mark of his career to this point. But his length on the perimeter and what he can give you as a perimeter defender, I thought the last couple of years he was one of, if not the best perimeter defender, certainly in the ACC, but across the country as well. So I think the defensive piece for Tyrese maybe goes not as noticed because everyone looks at statistics and offensive stuff, and I certainly get that. And he's certainly capable as a ball handler and running the offense. He's had to do that at times here at Duke, and obviously when Jeremy Roach was a part of the team a couple years ago, he took over some of the point guard duties during that run. Last year, he worked into more of a shooting guard role with Sion James coming into the fold over from Tulane, who ran the point. But Tyrese did that at times as well. So he's certainly capable of running the offense. He's just a cerebral, smart kid who, as I said, 3 years, obviously at Duke, is certainly going to help you reclassified and came here early. And you could see the consistent progression and maturity developing in him over the course of his time here in Durham. I think he's a really good piece. And like I said at the top, what he can do defensively on the perimeter is really impressive.
And that's a huge part of what the Cavaliers try to do, even though with Kenny Atkinson, more of an offensive-minded coach, they still want to play good defense, so that's essential. The ball handling aspect, David, I think is intriguing. Could you see him as a backup point guard in the NBA, or could you just see him as a combo guard who, when you need him to, he can handle the basketball, and when you need him to, he can step behind the line and be the off guard?
Based on the time here at Duke, I think what you said second there, the kind of combo guard is kind of the role that he's played here, can do it, and certainly if that's what's needed, he can step into it. But I do think to fully take advantage of what he can bring to the table offensively, you'd like to see him in a role where he can play the shooting guard role at different times as well. I mean, he can get as hot as anybody. I mentioned the 40%, but, you know, the first year on the NCAA tournament this year, he went 13 of 16 from three in those two games. So when he gets on a heater, and he did so in the ACC tournament championship game as well, he's got the ability to light up the offense like that, and he's got a smooth stroke, a really good sidestep move to get to his jump shot. So he's got that ability, can get to the rim as well. But I like it when he's in that combo role because that allows him to be a scorer as well.
You talk about reclassified. So, I mean, Cooper Flagg was another guy that did that. But Proctor, is he way beyond his year? He's only 21. And to see that he had made the national team for Australia at 16 is pretty impressive, too. Just can you talk about him, the person, and the maturity level?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think about the fact, and, you know, it feels like lifetimes ago, but he made that decision to reclassify in a year where Duke was in transition, right? Mike Krzyzewski was retiring, and John Shire was taking over first year as a head coach. So that was no small thing to come a year early to be a part of his first team and everything that came with that, and obviously the pressure and the microscope that comes with playing at Duke, and then the spotlight with the new head coach as well. So be able to step into that role and then grow over the course of his 3 years to where last year Duke didn't have formalized captains throughout the course of the season. And when you look at the leading scorer, everyone's going to look at Cooper, and certainly he was a leader on the team. But Tyrese was kind of that elder statesman who'd been through some things the year before the NCAA tournament run to the Elite Eight and so on and so forth. And you could tell, to my eye, he was one of, if not the clear leader on the team in terms of helping these very talented but also very young guys through this journey. College basketball season can be long, and the pressure that comes with the NCAA tournament. And he was just a common, consistent voice in that locker room that was never too high and never too low. And that's the maturity that obviously comes with playing 3 years in college. He's very mature, and obviously the basketball IQ that comes with that, and combine that with the raw skill set that we talked about earlier, to me, he's a really nice piece to have because of everything that he's been through.
David Shumate's joining us. He is the play-by-play voice of the Duke Blue Devils. With Proctor coming in, just because a guy went to a great school like Duke and a great program like Duke doesn't mean you're going to be successful in the NBA, David. However, I think playing in that environment, knowing the pressure that comes with being a Duke Blue Devil and starting for 3 years, basically, as Proctor did, boy, I think those things are wildly beneficial. How have you seen that type of experience help Duke players as they've tried to make the next step?
Well, I think, look, Samai, when you're taking the jump from college to NBA, obviously the level of pay jumps up and learning schematics and everything that comes with that is a piece of it as well. But one of the things that I think Duke does a really nice job of and what comes with it, and look, there's a lot of pressure, there's a lot of stress that comes with the spotlight that is placed on here, but there's also a lot of media attention. There's things, Duke is one of the few schools in the country that throughout the season has an open locker room. So to me, I think when you don't come to a program like Duke and don't experience something like this, when you go to the NBA, some of the media attention and the scrutiny and all that different stuff can probably be a shock to the system versus I think guys that have come through Duke, that not that they're numb to it, but they've been through it and they kind of know what that what's a piece of that, and they don't let it rattle them. They're used to it. They're comfortable in that setting, the spotlight that comes with the professional ranks, because they've essentially been living that day in and day out, if that makes sense, being here at Duke. So that part of the adjustment process is kind of behind them because that's not new, and they can focus on the basketball side of things, which to me only aids how quickly you can jump into what you need to on a basketball side of things at the NBA level, because the externalities, so to speak, are not new to you in a way that they might be to a lot of guys coming to the NBA.
Do you think that like with Coach Now and Coach K before, that they had looked at it's got to be more than basketball then too, because of the pressure of playing there, to me, just sitting here in Cleveland, has to be through the roof. And then you talk about that transition to the NBA and where we are with the college game right now, too. About, you know, again, we're talking about 19, 20, 21, these guys trying to be able to get in and make it in the NBA, and how things have changed, I think, for, and I guess maybe at Duke it's been there for a while, but just being a freshman, having to grow up super, super fast, and then going into the NBA. I know you kind of touched on it, but when Duke looks at someone to come in, how does that impact them and their opportunity to even play at Duke?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and the coaches have talked about this over the course of the years, obviously you're looking at a raw talent and a basketball ability level. I don't want to mean to minimize that at all, but you are looking at the quality of a player, kid, man, that you're bringing to campus here, and how are they going to be able to handle everything that comes with being at Duke and the questions that come with that, the spotlights that come with that. At times the criticism that can come with that and everything that goes with it, you know, the highs and lows, you are riding that here from a game to game basis, where and maybe not a higher profile program, you aren't getting dinged for every loss in non-conference play or ask questions about the status of the team every time you have a misstep, but that's what comes with it here. And they certainly are identifying guys from an LX standpoint, but on a maturity standpoint, to come here and to be able to handle that, because that's part and parcel. And I have a lot of these conversations like we're having today, and people ask me about, you know, the maturity level of guys that coming out of Duke, and it's fairly consistent. I think that's something that's important to them in the recruiting process, and they identify those types of guys, and that maturity only deepens when they get here and they're able to experience everything that comes with wearing that uniform and knowing what it takes to be a part of that. And that just is kind of built into the culture here and part of it, and why you see so many guys from here not only go into the NBA but have success at the next level.
David Shumate joining us, play-by-play voice of the Duke Blue Devils. Tyrese started basically for all 3 years when he was at Duke. We know second-round draft choices, all you have to do is look at who's been taken over the years. It's a keep your fingers crossed and hope you found one of the handful of guys in the second round who will have legit NBA careers. Do you think Tyrese is close to NBA ready now, David? Do you think he could come in and actually maybe be a rotational player? Or will it take a little time for him to develop his game a little bit more to get to NBA rotational player level?
Look, I'm biased, but and I'm a soft spot for Tyrese because of what he's meant to this program and what I've seen him grow and develop. But over the course of 3 years, to me, I think he's ready to roll when he comes in there, because he had opportunities after his first year, after his second year, to potentially go pro and either test the waters or go into the draft outright, and deciding to come back and be here for 3 years, seen him physically mature over the course of 3 years, but also his understanding of the offense, his understanding of the leadership role that he has to play on the team. And I keep going back to this because, to me, this is what differentiates him from some guys that you see, you know, as you get deeper into the draft. When you guys see him in person, his length defensively and what he can do on the perimeter is what can keep you on the floor. And we've seen a bunch of guys over the years that can, as you said, as you get deeper in the draft, that can certainly score, can go out and get you 15 or 20. Well, what does it look like at the other end of the floor? And that can limit their ability to get on the floor in the NBA. I don't think you have those sorts of issues with Tyrese. He can come out, impact things immediately defensively, and can also get you the 10, 15, 20 points because of his shooting. To me, that makes him ready to go. And the physical maturation we've seen in the last 3 years as well is a big piece of that.
David, great stuff, man. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thanks for getting us up to speed on Tyrese Proctor, who's coming to the Cavaliers. Thanks, David.
David, thank you.
Appreciate it.
You. Thank you. David Shumate, the voice of the Duke Blue Devils.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Tyrese Proctor could help out the Cavs immediately next year. You know, who knows? Second round pick. But you know what's more important than that? Jeff, draft grades. Because I think they're super important, especially when you have the 49th and 58th pick overall.
You got to grade those babies because you're going to be right on the money with those grades.
I got to tell you, you know, I don't know how happy you could be about this, but the Cavaliers did receive a decent grade from ESPN. Are you worried about this or not?
Why would I worry?
I don't know.
Trending appropriately.
That's right. A? Do you want to guess what their grade was?
B plus.
A B, Jeff. No. A B. Straight B.
For the Proctor pick or for the Niang pick
Let
as well?
Let me tell you exactly what ESPN told
us.
Oh,
good.
You keep plugging away, little buckaroo.
Thank you. You'll
get there one day.
Yes. The Cavaliers didn't get on the clock until well into the night of night two of the draft and landed an interesting prospect in Proctor, who continued to develop after the one-on-one done hype. Proctor shot 40.5% on threes last season and shows promise as an on-ball defender, although he could improve his steal rate.
We'll get it fixed.
Well, good. He's got something to work on.
Very, very exciting. Very exciting. Just little things about the draft last night. Can we get into just a couple little things about that?
Well, you're running the show today.
Well, I just want you to know this.
Stop it, Jeff.
Thank you. Why do we have two rounds? I'm still trying. Why do we televise both rounds?
Why not?
If
you don't like it, don't watch.
You know why.
Money.
And not just a little bit of money, a lot of money.
See what he said?
For people who aren't us.
See what he said?
Lots and lots of money.
There it is. I mean, that's what sports networks are for.
The only reason.
Put sports stuff on TV.
Cash.
You mean like have a show that shows highlights? Remember when they used to do that? Remember when MTV played music? Remember when SportsCenter used to show highlights?
I remember when ESPN used to actually give you sports news.
It's crazy. Although I will say early on, they were desperate for programming. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they'd show two guys just playing catch in the middle of the night, all night for like 3 or 4 hours. Back and forth. Just playing catch.
I miss Australian
More
rules football.
More money.
Australian rules, the beanpot tournament. Oh, the origins of ESPN. But in watching last night's show, I don't know why it didn't have any. There's very little sizzle. And like if we saw someone drop, and I guess the hard part is they're trying to live up to the show that the NFL puts out, right? Doesn't that.
They're trying to copy the NFL, clearly. But Andy, I don't care if the second round's on, I watched parts of it.
I was stuck for the last half of it because I was like, I got to see what the Cavs do. And
a lot of Rockford reruns last night, so I was watching a lot of draft.
I watched some CFL football last night too. That wasn't bad. It was hard after the Guardians played earlier. That didn't make life any more fun.
No, that wasn't good.
So are we done with the hat thing? Oh, I know what I was going to say.
I want to talk about the hat thing.
Okay.
It's your thing, but it drives me
crazy. And so,
you know what they should do?
You have an answer for this? Go ahead.
Get rid of the hats. Just why do you make a kid put it? And let's be fair. You know, as a guy who's follically challenged.
Do you want to tell them why, Dan? Why they won't get rid of the hats? Tell them why.
Money. I know. They sell those hats.
I mean,
and loads of them.
New Era had a store on the set last night. They have
Scrooge McDuck of money.
Did you see the Rutgers guys, Harper and Ace, put their hats on? And, you know, they didn't put them on. They were off to the side and crooked and everything else. You know why?
Why?
A, they wanted them that way. B, they have so much hair, you can't put a baseball cap on your head. So why? What? And then they're all wrong. And Scott Van Pelt the other day went off on a tangent.
I thought,
Andy's going to love this.
I did. I heard it.
He's right. You're right. And the deal is this. Just lose the hats. You know, put something else on. Sell something else. You're not going to make that much money selling draft night hats that it makes it worth your while to have the kid up there wearing the wrong hat and everything else. It just, you're Andy, you are correct.
All right. Well, let me double down on that.
But these guys have so much hair and, you know, hair is so big that the hats don't fit well anyway.
My MVP of watching two nights of the draft, Mark Tatum. You know who Mark Tatum is?
He's the guy who does the second round.
He did the second round.
The deputy commissioner?
That is correct.
Here comes Mark. Always smiling when he announces a pick.
He actually is the chief operating officer.
Always smiling.
He is. When he comes out to announce a trade before a pick, like he did last night, he sold it like you had never seen it before. Like, by the way, meanwhile, ESPN had talked about these trades 15, 20 minutes prior. They were picks that were already made. I mean, there were trades that were already made. So Shams gets on, tells you about the trade. Guys talk about it. Tatum walks up, and they announce the pick. The guy is now drafted to the team that he's not going to play for, and Tatum goes forward. And then a couple picks later, then Tatum comes back and says, oh, by the way, there's been a trade. Guy I just introduced as playing for another team 3 minutes ago is now going to another team. But you already knew that because you were watching ESPN's broadcast and you knew 15 minutes ago this trade was there. I give Tatum credit because he sold it every time when he walked to that podium like the trade had just happened.
The one point about it, though, is I understand partially why they have to wear the wrong team hat because they were actually drafted by that team. Even though they're getting traded, they were drafted by that team. And that's what it's about. So the draft pick was actually made by the team whose hat they're wearing.
Right.
And then they trade the player. They don't trade the pick. So from that, that's a logistical, factual situation.
They have got to figure out a way to change that.
Just don't wear hats.
Well, I just think it's confusing to your fans while they're watching.
Of course it is. Just don't wear the hats.
I don't get it. I'll never understand it.
Lose the hats. It looks stupid anyway. Doesn't it?
Yeah, and so whoever the reporter is that talks to the player that comes up, the reporter can just assume, hey, you know, you're not going to Brooklyn, you're going to Sacramento. Okay, well, let's talk about how this could be. Because do you think the player knows at that point?
I'm sure the player is well aware. Just lose the hats.
It is goofy, and it's...
Most of the guys don't look good in them. They've got too much hair, which is great for them.
Especially when you think about the money they spent on those suits, some of those suits. Yesterday, I felt like I was watching... I can't explain it. Especially after watching the first round, and you give that... There's like a buzz and excitement. I will tell you that having gone to Barkley the year that the Cavaliers drafted Kyrie, it's underwhelming when you were there. I also... don't like the fact that NBA TV doesn't do another show alongside. Because I was looking for a second, the last 2 years since they've gone to this two-night format, it used to be NBA TV did a show, and then I think ESPN did a show alongside. And so you had two different places to go if you wanted to watch the draft. I don't know. It made it a little bit more interesting for me because I wanted to hear what different people were saying at the time of the pick. They may as well sit. I almost think they'd be better off sitting in the studio in Bristol and letting the commissioner make the pick and then letting them be in the studio. Because the studio they used yesterday, it was like going to a bad nightclub. It's exactly what it felt like. And that was kind of how it feels if you're actually there.
It didn't give me, I didn't even think about that.
It just looked hokey. It's not, and
there was five people sitting at a desk. Andy, yeah, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm just saying, then they've got the tables and they've got the, and then they spent, I don't know, a good part of this, like the latter half before the Cavs picked, talking about, you know, being here on the second night. Could you imagine if we watched a quarterback sitting there to stick around for a second night of the NFL draft? This is where the comparison part kills them. And to have those folks stick around and say, okay, you know, I lived the dream and I'm here for the second round. And even though, first of all, you weren't really invited because they used to only invite the lottery guys in the beginning. And then they didn't really like that because you'd see people as they would drop, as we see in the NFL all the time, they start sweating bullets because they're like, I'm losing millions per pick. I'm losing millions per pick. Right? I don't know how you change it.
Their dream is getting crushed right in front of our eyes.
And then you drop to the second round. But last night, the guys that were there that were picked in the second round, I thought they were good.
They were all happy.
But they kept talking about the emotion of the draft. Like, I've never seen so many tears. I've never really.
Oh, first round especially.
First round, yeah. But
did you see the guy who got drafted last night and his grandpa was there? That grandpa was awesome.
It was cool.
Wasn't he? Because the grandpa was just standing up. He's screaming, that's my boy. That's my boy. And he just kept going. And then they asked the kid, he said, Grandpa took me to every practice. He was there for everything. And the kid was very calm.
Yeah.
He didn't like bust up crying, which I would have if I was him, as I'm watching my grandpa, you know, just go bananas. That was a very touching thing. He was going nuts. It was really cool. If you haven't seen it, go look it up. It was really funny.
It's still
and heartwarming, actually.
I don't. Were they better off having the second round on the first night and flying through it? It kept them there until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Who cares? I mean, seriously, if you're an NBA fan, you had your team with two picks, you probably paid attention. If you didn't care, you didn't watch. It was that simple.
Dan,
Twitter's a heck of a thing.
There it is.
I mean, the problem the NBA draft is always going to have against the NFL draft is that a lot more people watch college football than watch college basketball. And so you're never going to get that buzz outside of at the very top when somebody's going, oh, Cooper Flagg, Cooper Flagg, Cooper Flagg. Like, or, you know, Victor Wembanyama. Like, you need those guys at the top of it. But very few people watch college basketball outside of the amount of us who parachute in for the tournament. You parachute in for the tournament and you go, oh, okay. That's that guy. He's supposed to be good, right? And you base everything off of the two games in the tournament you watch.
Well, yeah.
And you go from there.
And the other aspect of it is, you know, it's the way that college basketball has changed and the one and dones and everything else. You don't root for teams anymore, and you don't become really familiar with guys. You know, it's guys who are making a pit stop before they maybe get drafted, and there's so much speculation in the NBA draft. As opposed to the NFL draft.
Right.
You know, you're keeping your fingers crossed that somebody might be pretty good.
Not to mention a chunk of these second rounders have already been traded three times.
That's true.
You have no idea who in the hell's drafting. And you're drafted guys that a lot of people haven't seen. I mean, you run into that a bunch too when it's like, hey, we're taking so-and-so. He's from Italy. We're taking this guy from the Sudan.
You don't know.
Hey, we're taking this guy from France.
They might become household names.
Five French guys got drafted?
Oh, a lot of French guys.
How many people were watching French basketball?
Bunch of Australian guys, too.
Bunch of Aussies got drafted.
One of our
guys.
That's
outstanding. That's not meant to like trash it or anything. That's awesome that the league is that global, getting that many guys in it.
Israel dropping in the first round back-to-back. Yeah.
Proctor's Australian.
Heck yeah, and that's fantastic. That's not meant to be a slam. It's more like how many people know these guys because they've been watching French basketball?
It's on my TV.
It's just all food for thought, I guess. A lot of it when it comes to just watching these NBA draft or watching any of the drafts, but in particular the NBA draft and who you end up getting and how sucked in you can be to watch a second. I don't know. I just
not to mention I'll go Baskin and Phelps to Baskin and Phelps. It's a really cheap product to put on. A couple cameras, some anchors, boom, entertainment.
Ask Spike to show up and give him a reserve seat that says reserved on the back.
Exactly.
Of it.
I'll go Andy Bassett and Jeff Phelps. That's a cheap product to put on, and it fills 4 hours of the human drama.
It's not a bad way to go, is it? Television? And last night they had a really good crew. They had a really good crew. There was some pretty intelligent stuff going on there.
All right, let's come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the Cavs roster, especially because Sam Amico is going to join us in the next hour. Also want to talk about the Browns for a little bit, some stadium stuff still going on there. So I was on a show in Florida this morning, ding, whatever. But they asked me a question. The reason I was on was to talk about the stadium, and I was just like, okay, let's
ding.
Do it. And their thoughts on it were a little shocking to me. I'll tell you what that was. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.